for 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
And good morning and welcome to Rosie on the House. We've got the door thrown wide open. We've got a fresh pot of coffee brewed over here and a place on the couch for you. So come on in and we're going to take the subject of air conditioning. We felt like in the month of July in the state of Arizona and the old Pueblo, this would be a good month and a good time to be talking about air conditioning. The one most important critical component of your house to make it comfortable here during this time of year. You know, Tucson was a great little town back in the 50s. Then we invented air conditioning. And y'all become a regular old city. You don't like to admit that about yourself, but you're a big city now. So air conditioning is a big part of that. Y'all all depend on it all summer long. And we've brought in our Rosie Certified expert, Andrew Dobbins from Intelligent Design, to help us understand a little bit more about air conditioning and what it really does. Because, Andrew, as you know, I mean, homeowners, they really don't understand how it works. They just know when they turn the thermostat to this and it's 30 degrees hotter outside, they want the inside of the house cool.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I try and talk to people about what air conditioning is, and I find it really doesn't get me anywhere because they don't understand it. People think, well, I want cool air coming out of that register, but air conditioning is really the removal of heat.
That's right.
That's kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe it, just go outside to the fan and feel the air coming off that fan.
That's right.
You're just sucking the heat out of the house. So let's talk a little bit about some of the issues that I hear homeowners dealing with all the time. And I want to go to a kind of a technical one at first, because people live with the results of the problem, but they don't understand what it is. And they may hear a technician out at the house talk about static pressure. Let's talk a little bit about what static pressure is and the consequence of proper and improper static pressure in the AC central system.
All right. So static pressure is basically resistance in the supply or the return line. We're finding that a significant amount of homes have the problem in the return, where there's an undersized return, or they have the old style of grill where they just took a flat piece of metal and stamped a hole through it, and they add an incredible amount of resistance. So when you have that restriction, you strain the blower motor out, and then you don't get enough air over the coil, which can then lead to coil leaks and compressor failure. So it's a really big deal for efficiency and longevity, and also lots of repairs are not so many.
And if the compressor is the brains of the air conditioner, the coil is really the heart of the air conditioner. Because without that coil, you're not getting the cold surface to throw the air over to theoretically cool it down to deliver it to the house. So you start developing problems with the coil, you're developing problems with the very core of your unit.
If you don't get enough air over the coil, the refrigerant should be evaporating and trapping the heat. But if you don't get enough air over it, it doesn't fully evaporate by the time it's headed out to the compressor. A compressor designed to compress vapor, trying to compress a liquid, it breaks. You can't compress it.
And those stamped registers are, in many cases, they're builder standard.
That's right.
I mean, they're what's mm-hmm. being installed on units all through the state of Arizona, everywhere.
Yes.
But because they do create so much back pressure, it's like the air conditioner is trying to push against a resistance it doesn't need to have.
That's right. So the open cavity of an AC, you only need about 100 square inches per ton of cooling. But once you add that stamp face grill, it's 160. It's a 60% resistance. The better grills, the fixed bar grills, only add a 40% resistance.
So we're opening up the opportunity for the air conditioner to exhale is what we're doing.
Yeah, we don't want the AC to be trying to go for a jog with a coffee straw in its mouth. It's not gonna run too far.
And that static pressure, now you say you're not able to pass enough air because you're basically creating a dam at the end of the stream by slowing it all down at the register. You're not able to pass enough air over this coil.
Mm-hmm.
So the coil's not getting near the transfer of energy that has the potential of accomplishing.
You're also straining the blower motor, and you may not get enough air to the different rooms in the house, so it can lead to other issues besides just the coil.
some of the problems with static pressure are all of the evap cool systems that were built in the 50s.
That's right.
Okay. That were now retrofitted in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s.
Yeah.
That we throw an air conditioner on.
That's right. And they had those definitely had undersized returns. And when we convert to AC, we enlarge that. We're even finding some of the newer homes had, you know, they have a 5-ton unit with a stamp face grill that's a 20 by 25 or a 20 by 30. And really, it should be the fixed bar grill 20 by 40 for a 5-ton unit. You need that much more space.
What is it about the air conditioning industry that, generally speaking, we've always undersized the return air? What is it about the, because it's an industry standard almost.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the industry standard. I would say that when you have track homes being built, they do them fast and cheap and try and go with the cheapest materials because the one who's going to get that job for a contractor that's building 1,000 homes is going to be the cheapest guy. So many times we're going into those homes and we're having to fix what the original contractor did wrong because they went with the cheapest of everything.
And a lot of times that's an upgrade of the supply register, the return air register, and then a complete analysis of even if you have the right size, even close to the right. You just raised an illustration where the return air was half the size that you needed.
That's right.
And then we have people complaining about hot and cold spots in their house.
Yeah. People wonder why their systems only lasted 8 years or 10 years or 12 years when they used to last a lot longer. Well, it could be just they're not making life they're used to, but it could also be that there's issues with the install that's causing them not to live as long.
Well, and the static pressure has a lot to do with the size of equipment too. And I think that's the other area that maybe the industry was a little off base for a long, long time too. It seemed like we would oversize equipment.
That's right.
And then undersize return air, which
is
like, duh, what are we doing?
It's double trouble.
The whole industry has become much more scientific than it used to be. I mean, it used to be you had the people moving out here from the Midwest. All they knew is when the air conditioner come on, they wanted ice cold air coming out that supply register. So you actually had the home buyers request, I want the biggest piece of equipment you can put on my house.
And now we understand that you're going to kick it on and off too much and they're going to break on you if you do that.
And it's going to cost you more to buy.
That's right.
More to run.
That's right.
You're going to have poorer indoor air quality. Everything about it is wrong.
More breakdowns, higher utility bills, shorter life, more expensive to buy.
So when y'all are called out to assess, maybe it's just an air conditioner that's not blowing cold, okay? And you need to get out there and assess the current condition of the equipment and what the right recommendations would be. When you've ascertained that we've got some pretty expensive repairs here in this 12, 15, 16, 17-year-old piece of equipment, and we really need to educate the homeowners to why they might want to consider new equipment, what do you take the client through? What does the technician do at the house to ascertain what the right size equipment should be?
So the technician's actually not going to size that. We have a project manager that comes out. So the technicians for us are not allowed to sell new units. We never want there to be the feeling of a impropriety there.
Okay.
So the technicians will identify the repairs, talk to the homeowner and say, you have a 20-year-old unit. Do you think this is a wise investment? If they say no, then we get a project manager out there. The project manager will then walk them through what the Department of Energy, Energy Star and Consumer Reports says should be done, which is measure the amount of heat that comes into the house. Which is very contrary to what most contractors in town do. They go off of the square footage or the old system size, the exact opposite of what the Department of Energy says. They say if a contractor does that, they shouldn't even be considered.
And I completely agree. And you've got air conditioning equipment manufacturers that are selling equipment over the internet, just basically just asking you, what do you have now, 3-ton? We'll ship you a 3-ton.
Yes, sir.
It's the worst place to try and solve the problems you may or maybe not be having with your indoor air quality and indoor comfort levels.
That's right.
So we do the load calculation.
That's right.
The heat load calculation. Sometimes you may or may not hear, is a manual J. And it's information that you're using to determine what kind of heat load that building envelope is being subjected to in the course of a Tucson summer afternoon. And what size equipment's the right size to put on there?
That's right.
To get them where they need to be.
So if you imagine the building, if you have an R11 wall versus an R30 wall, one's going to let in more heat, but the square footage didn't change. A single pane window versus a triple pane, shade or no shade. All of that, I've seen the same home on the same street.
The ceiling height.
That's right. Well, that's cubic volume. Yeah. So that's going to add to the amount of air that needs to be mixed. The ceiling height won't change the amount of heat coming in much because except for the surface area of the wall. But really, windows is huge. And what a lot of people don't measure when they say they're doing a heat load is, does the ductwork leak? The ductwork factor is can add about 30% to the house. So if it's below the insulation line versus above the insulation line, or whether it leaks or does not leak, is huge. So whenever we do a heat load, we test to see if the ductwork leaks, make sure we get a proper size.
And I've been remodeling homes in Arizona for about 40 years now, and I think I can count on one hand the duct systems I found that didn't need some kind of attention.
Yes, sir.
For one reason or another. I mean, it's in the low, way less than 5% range.
Yes, sir.
Virtually every ductwork system, for one reason or another, needs to be attended to get that leakage down to an acceptable level. They're all going to leak. Mm-hmm. But what do y'all like to get your levels down to?
Well, we use a product called AeroSeal where we can seal it down to next to nothing. We were just at a house this last week, and another contractor did a duct replacement for them. And we're there 2 weeks later, and they had the equivalent of a 17-square-inch hole when we tested it. After they've installed brand new ductwork. And so that customer was not very happy. We got it all sealed for him, but that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. We're here talking air conditioning with Andrew Dobbins of Intelligent Design, a Rosie Certified air conditioning and heating specialist serving Pima County. We'll be right back.